The following is an arrival address given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 16, 1983 in Atlanta, Georgia.
One year ago, we had a plan that I would come here for Radhastami. So I'm sorry that I'm just a couple of days late. Without asking me, my regional secretary from Malaysia changed the days of a major function there, put me back a few days. Put me back a week. How is everybody here?
Hi.
After I left Nupanihati, we from Miami had to race back to Calcutta for the Rath Yatra festival. And although I had no reservation at any point, and there was 178 people on the waiting list from London to Calcutta, somehow the computer appeared with my name on it. How it came, only Jagannath knows. But I was able to get on that flight. And I reached the 11th night, the 12th was the Rath Yatra. So I brought some slides of the Calcutta Rath Yatra festival. It was a wonderful festival this year. It coincided with the Mohammedan Eid festival, so all the offices, everything was closed. So that means there were no... Normally Calcutta has a population of about 7 million, but then during the day it increases to about 12, because there are 5 million commuters that go in and out every day in trains and buses that have a capacity of about half that. In fact, there's so many people that come in and out that most of them just walk about 3 miles from downtown to the train station. It's not adequate. So we normally would get that big crowd, so we were afraid that, well, maybe because all the offices are closed, we'd get less people. But by Jagannath's mercy, there was a full capacity, so over 1 million people. And the difference was that everyone that was there just to see the Prabhupada's festival, Rath Yatra. So they were especially dressed in their best clothing, and they came with a very devotional mood. So it was the nicest Rath Yatra in terms of the mood of all the people. Very orderly, very enthusiastic, devoted people all came. Not that we don't mind the office crowd. We got them on the return route. Our festival is 9 days. First going, then 7 days we build a big temple and have a big top tent and a whole fairgrounds we make. And anyway, you'll see that on the slideshow. Then we come back on the 9th day. So the 9th day we got all the office crowd also. So normally on the way back we usually only get 500,000 people, but because they had all the office crowd had missed, so also on the way back there was equally huge crowds, if not even a little bigger. So that I felt very fortunate that I could be present. And next year we're trying to expand it even bigger. Prabhupada had requested us to make Calcutta the biggest Rath Yatra in the world. And by his mercy, after now the 12th year of Rath Yatra there, since 1971, now gradually that's actually taking shape. Then I had to go to Malaysia. It's a new part of my zone. And in a nutshell, the preaching there is very big potential. It's the second largest, not largest, small country, but second richest country in Asia. So there's no economic problem per se, but there's also a different kind of wealth. About 20% of the people there are Indians, from South India mainly, and they're very receptive to Krishna consciousness. And many, and the Chinese are very receptive. It's a little touchy because the other 50% of the people are Muslims who have a very strict law that you cannot preach to any of the Muslims. In fact, if any Muslim converts to any other religion, they're exiled from the country. But apart from them, then you can preach to anyone else. So we have to always be very discreet, have to preach in indoor type preaching, or in specific areas of the town where those, you know, no one will be offended. But there I gave sannyas to Brijendra Kumar, Bhakti Brijanandan Swami, and the order of the GBC. And he's preaching there along with Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj and many other devotees. And it looks, we have a new temple. It looks very nice for preaching in the future. I've had some disciples there already. It's a place that Srila Prabhupada visited in 1971 on the invitation of one family there. And that family is quite unusual because everyone in that family has a personal experience with Srila Prabhupada. I met three of the sisters. They're all three are barristers at law from England. The one was the one who and her husband brought Prabhupada to, they have the only Krishna temple in Kuala Lumpur. They brought Srila Prabhupada there in 1971, and Prabhupada immediately said, make a temple here, make our ISKCON center. But at that time, his desire couldn't be maintained more than a few months. The devotees didn't stay on. In fact, ISKCON only reestablished the center recently, within 4 or 5 years. Well, the other sister is the wife of the police chief for the whole state, the Inspector General of Police. And she met Prabhupada at the Kumbh Mela. Another sister, was when she was going to law school in England, met Prabhupada in Amsterdam in England 3 times. And even the grandchildren all have autographed Krishna books and Bhagavad Gitas from Srila Prabhupada. So somehow this whole family has got some, in different places they've all had some kind of a relation with Srila Prabhupada, and he's encouraged them. And they're actually helping us a lot also in expanding the preaching there in Malaysia. So I hope I won't have to spend so much time there. I have to spend quite a bit of time, as a result of which my normal tour of India had to be compacted. I had to visit the 18 temples I have in India in about a period of 24 days. So it was, you can just doesn't have to say any more than that. It was quite a busy tour. But I went to Nepal, and there in the Tribhuvan University, the government university in Kathmandu, they had a big program which was published in all the papers. And there also, what the curator of the New York Museum happened to be a Nepali when Prabhupada had the temple in Brooklyn. And he used to go and take prasadam at a temple and he witnessed Prabhupada perform a wedding ceremony. And now he's gone back and he's the head of the Department of Zoology there. So he came forward and he's helping our movement there. So apparently the program had such a strong effect on the students, the faculty, and the media that the next day I had to cut my stay short and leave for other places. But an hour after I left, the queen of the country, one of the only Hindu ruling queen in the world, sent her car to pick me up to ask if I would come and have an audience. She wanted to discuss something about Krishna consciousness just after I left. So, anyway, next time I go there, they said that she definitely wants to meet. She recently went to our temple in London. Her son had to go for an operation, the Crown Prince. And they feel that Krishna has blessed their son or something. He recovered very quickly. Prabhupada wanted, he said, to make Nepal a stronghold of Krishna consciousness. It is the only Hindu kingdom in the world. They have a complete ban on all type of cow slaughter, bull or cow. And they don't allow any conversion to any forceful conversion to any other faith. Of course, if someone voluntarily wants to take any faith, it's another thing. But many ways they have a very, and the whole country chants Hare Krishna from centuries. So it just requires a little bit of divine dispensation that could be actually made into a stronghold of Krishna consciousness. Then from Nepal, I went to Guwahati. Guwahati is in the troubled storm state of India called Assam. I think everyone probably read in the newspaper. There were riots there. Hundreds and thousands of people were killed over the past few years. In the midst of that, Baba Bhuti Das Adhikari and his assistants, they have been working very hard in the midst of all these riots and built a beautiful temple, bigger than or about the same size as our Vrindavan Krishna Balaram temple. And I moved the deities Rukmini Krishna, Vaidarbhi Krishna, because Rukmini is said to come from that valley of Guwahati. In the Vedas, it's described as Pragjyotishpur. And Krishna personally visited Pragjyotishpur, and that's where he took the 16,108 queens, I believe, were taken from there also, or nearby there. The 16,000 anyway, he rescued from that area. Banasur, or Narakasur. Narakasur comes from that area. Narakasur. Banasur is. Is it Bhomasur or Narakasur? One of those asuras. Had his, maybe that Bhomasur is slightly north of there, but the Narakasur, I believe, is the one who had his capital there. And Krishna defeated him and then went on to the other. But anyway, Krishna's lotus feet, when he raised to get to that valley, there's a big rock on the one side of the Brahmaputra River. And there, it's called Ashlaklesh, Aswaklesh. Aswa means horse, and klesh means tired. So the hoofs of the horse were so hot from running that when they stood on the rock, they left hoof prints all over the rock, and those hoof prints are still there. And there's also a footprint of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, so people go there and do puja on that rock, do worship. So it's a very spiritually historical valley, blessed. And on all sides there are hills, The biggest hill being the Kamakhya hill, the ancient temple of Kamakhya Devi, who's mentioned in the Mahabharata, whose devotee married, maybe it was Bhomasura? Or Narakasura? I'm quite sure it was Narakasura, that one. Narakasura had, the demons, you see, their mood is quite different. You see, although they're devoted to demigods, he worshipped Kamakhya Devi according to this, the Puranic evidences that are revealed by the devotees there. He worshipped Kamakhya Devi, and when finally Kamakhya said, "All right, what do you want? You can have your wish." Then he said that, "I want to have sex with you." She says, "You know, I'm married, I'm to Lord Shiva," and all then this is, you know, "this is my desire." The demon, you know, their idea is completely different. So she said, "All right, since this is your desire, but then how do I know you're worthy? So you have to build up to the temple. You have to, in one night, from the sunset to the sunrise, if you can build a stone path so wide," and gave the measurement about 10 feet wide, "and if you finish before daybreak, then you can have what you want." So then this demon, the whole night, as soon as sun set, he was lifting these big boulders and building, and it's a huge mountain. I mean, it's maybe 2,000 feet high. I mean, a big hill. And even today, you can still see the, I don't remember if it was Boma or Naraka, I thought it was Naraka, so the huge, there's this big path going straight up the side of the hill. Of course, just before daybreak, he had one big rock to lift and his strength failed. Because, of course, she's the mother of all the living entities in the universe, and he couldn't get it there in time. The cock crowed. And "Thank you for the nice road." So now all the devotees can come up there. And now they've built a motorable road. But anyway, we can talk so many things about Kamakhya Devi. She told her devotees to worship Krishna. She has a special dispensation. So, and that's on the far western side of the valley, and there's mountains, these hills all around. And through the one side comes the Brahmaputra River, where the Krishna's lotus feet are there. And our temple is on a small hill right in the middle of this Brahmaputra valley. And on the top of that is our temple. So it's an incredible situation. You can see the Kamakhya temple, you can see Krishna's rock, you can see the whole city on all sides, about 500,000 people, small city. And the beautiful Brahmaputra, largest river in the world, I believe, or one of the largest, the only male river in the Vedas. It's not a nadi, it's not a... rivers are normally female, like Jamuna, Ganga, but Brahmaputra, Putra means son, and Brahma, son of Brahma, it's a male river. One of the few male rivers, if not the only one in the world. So then we finished moving our deity from the old temple to the temporary place, to the new temple. Then that very night I took afternoon I took a flight to Mayapur, to Calcutta, then drove out to Mayapur and for Janmashtami. That was all on Janmashtami. Two ministers from the communist coalition government of West Bengal, they came out and were guest speakers at the Janmashtami festival. The whole guest house was completely packed, and people from all over the villages came. And I got there just as one of the ministers was speaking, about 6 or 7 at night. And one of the ministers was saying that how Srila Prabhupada had actually shown the way, and that no political system in the world, including communism, even though he was in that government, he was including communism, can never succeed without God consciousness. And with God consciousness, Prabhupada has shown that the whole world can actually be united. Very fiery, it was very shocked everyone. They couldn't expect that this person would say something. I don't know. Apparently he's made his own little party. which is part of the coalition. But then another minister, who was the Public Works Department minister, he also spoke very highly of Krishna and Krishna consciousness and thanked everyone in the temple, said he was completely overwhelmed by the Mayapur Chandraroy Mandir. And unofficially, he's said he would try his best as the Public Works Department minister, who's in charge of all roads, building of bridges, building of any government structures, to try to improve the infrastructure of roads and other things out to Mayapur, including bridges across the rivers to Mayapur, etc. And as a sign of his, you know, sincerity, already in the short time, he's put every 10 miles signboards on the way to Mayapur, when it says so many miles to Darjeeling or to Bombay, wherever it says so many, underneath that or over, depending on the sign, it says Mayapur, so many miles, 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever. And he's giving us permission to put three big hoardings on the way to Mayapur. Then, of course, we had our Vyas Puja for Srila Prabhupada. The next day, they offered 1,000 preparations of prasadam. And I heard here there was a very nice Janmashtami. And everywhere there was... In Madras, I wasn't there, but they had a very nice Janmashtami. They had that Bhajanti Bala was a guest speaker there, and they had about 5,000 people there. And at 3,000 in Bangalore, they rented a big hall and everyone came. I heard here in New Orleans had a nice festival. A nice festival in Malaysia. In Kathmandu, they had a complete packed town. Everywhere, the very nice Janmashtami festivals. Calcutta, there were so many people that people were lying down the street. It took 20 minutes to get up to see the deities. So at Mayapur, when we did the Abhishek, the television had come out from Calcutta, the All India television. They used to have one government television authority. And they televised the Janmashtami festival, including fire yagya, bathing of the deities, worshipping of Prabhupada and everything, nationwide, next day at 7:45 in the evening. So even in Madras, some life members said they saw the video of me doing the Abhishek of Radhama. They saw Radhama of it. So Prabhupada was very kind. So then I went on a South Indian tour. Our Hyderabad farm now is a 600-acre farm that Prabhupada had wanted to show practically Krishna consciousness in India, how to do simple living, high thinking in a real practical sense. So that place was like a desert. It's all thorn bushes, barren land. And Prabhupada said, if you just do chanting here, you'll get enough rain. And so I had been there before. I mean, I've been there many times, but during my Vyas Puja celebration, I told everyone, you just do kirtan, and Prabhupada will certainly have his mercy on us. And when I said that, we were discussing, suddenly, just over the land, a big black cloud came. And you could see on all sides it was blue sky, and it was in that time, it was in April, it was the middle of the drought season. But a big black rain kind of started pouring rain on the land, and so we were all dancing in the rain. Right. You see. That was like a very nice sign, but then I came back, now it's the rainy season. Normally you get a little rain there. Enough you can grow some corn, cactus or something. But you know, maybe a few small plots of rice you can grow. But this year is a flood of rain. They had done for 1.5 months before I was there, before the rainy, they had done non-stop Sankirtan in the villages every night. And there's so much rain, they said there has never been in the history that much rain in that area. This flooded, now that we have to, we're thinking to build dams. There's so much, there was a little pond in the back that has become a huge lake over, you know, miles and miles. In fact, it's just everywhere there is green now. It's incredible. Rain, showers of mercy. So, we were trying to spend so much money for irrigation, it seems we should just spend more for Sankirtan. Krishna will do the rest. Prabhupada This is the basic principle, Guru Parampara, that we worship the Guru, of course, only as a, he's the representative of the previous acharyas of Krishna. Not that Guru is God, but he's respected as a representative of God, isn't it? And by following the disciplic succession, the previous acharya's instructions, then we have that faith and understanding that this is the desire of Krishna. And factually, we're seeing immediately, just by following the blueprints that Srila Prabhupada has given us, in every respect, that things are just coming true. That things are developing very nicely. So there, the problem, they had grown all these dry crops and like corn and all that. There was too much rain, so they got waterlogged. So they had to plow the land up again. They grew all rice, which is good for making khichdi. So that program is going on nicely. They're getting about 250 kilos of milk every day. And delivering it to the city, there are people that are... We also give the deities and devotees as much as they need, and then they deliver the rest to the city, and they have regular people who get the milk from our farm on a, you know, contract basis. Individual people, you know, families, they sign up because they know that our milk is pure and it's reliable. In India, milk usually has a little water in it. They never lie. If you ask the milkman, did you put water in the milk? He said, no, I didn't put any. You say, but there's water in this milk. You must have put water. He said, I'll swear on the Bhagavad Gita, I did not put any water in the milk. You see, maybe his brother did, or his wife. Maybe he put the water in first and put the milk in the water. Or something. You don't lie, but somehow there's water there. You know it, but... So up to now we've been able to keep the water out of our milk, so people like it very much. Then from there I went to Bangalore and just made a one-day visit there. And one whole family, one son had taken initiation from me, was going to the MIT of India. So then he came back and now his whole family wanted, was chanting 16 rounds. So then they all requested initiation, which I gave them later on in the visit. Then from there I went to Madras. We have a new temple president there. And the temple was before having a financial difficulty, but he picked it right up. And there was about 12 devotees before. There's now 28 devotees there. There was zero devotees in Hyderabad farm. They have about 40. So things are looking up very nicely there. With a lot of devotees are Grihastha devotees in Madras who are doing their businesses and very active in the temple. And there was like a miracle that happened in Madras. There, Krishna came on his own to Madras. We have been worshipping Jagannath there, little Jagannath that I had on the traveling bullock cart party at one point. And there was a very ancient temple of Krishna in one of the districts in South India. And this temple, the pujari, the old father, he passed away. And the son was a materialist, so he didn't see the value of worshipping the deity and everything. So he took the deity and he was trying to sell them off somewhere. There are 400-year-old worship deities, Krishna, Rukmini, and Satyabhama. They say, I mean, I haven't... As far as we know, that's there. I mean, it's Krishna's with the flute, and either it's Satyabhama or Rukmini, I believe. So they happened to go to the person right behind their house who's chanting 8 rounds and is a life member giving us some land. And they said that you please buy these deities. He said, how can you sell these at worship? Well, you can't sell Krishna like that. He said, but I need the money. They said, just, you know, kind of materialistic. Or listen, you take this as a donation and whatever, and then you give the deities here. So he had those deities, and then the devotees saw the deities, and then By Krishna's arrangement, he gave those deities to the devotees, and on Janmashtami, their worship was restarted again. They're made of a special mix of five metals, gold, silver, brass, beautiful deities, about this big. And just exquisite deities. They don't make... Of course, Krishna is not made, but he's been worshipped for so long. You can just, the deities have Krishna's special presence, and it's very hard to find that type of deity anyway. But Krishna, and this is just on his own. We wouldn't have installed the Krishna because we are renting a big house there, but we didn't own a house, so we wouldn't install. But Krishna is already installed, and he walked in the door. Then what can you do? You have to worship him. So then from Madras, I flew down to Kerala, to Trivandrum. This one day stops, just, you know. As I said, it was a very quick tour. And I didn't know it, but this happened to be the national biggest holiday. What's comparable to Christmas here is like the Christmas day, the Unam festival. All of the Keralites consider themselves to be the descendants or the praja, the citizens of Bali Maharaj. And this was a time after Bali was sent to Sutala Loka, he got a boon or some permission to visit his old citizens once in a year. So he would come at that time, and then all the citizens would wear fresh cloth and give the children good cloth, and there would be gifts to everyone, and they'd come and they would be greeting, you know, that the king is coming, and they're greeting Bali Maharaj. So there was that Unam day, they light lights in front of the house, and so many different festivals. So I happened to be arriving that day at 11 in the morning. Unless you're there, you wouldn't. And the mayor and the deputy mayor of the town, along with the aldermen and all the, you know, the people, they're all waiting at the airport with a big red umbrella. And the band, Chennai band, and then they received me, garlanded me, put me in the VIP lounge, the newspapers all took photographs and everything. This spot was like unexpected. And they were very happy that I was coming on that festival day. We did the initiation ceremony the next day, and many, that was also televised and put in the newspapers. Then from there, I flew from Kerala, which is near the far southern tip of India, to back to Calcutta, and next morning to Bangladesh, which is northeast. In Bangladesh, all the Hindus leaders were waiting for me, and they wanted a special discussion. They said that they've traced out the history of their country, which has got about 15 million Hindus out of the 85 million people. The rest were converted Muslims. They were converted by Aurangzeb and other rulers in ancient India. Even within the last 100 years, many are converted by force. Convert or die type of, you know, by the sword. They were converting people in those days, most of them. So now in that country, the Hindus are the second, are the big minority, but they had lost a lot of their morale. So when I came there, then they came to actually say that because ISKCON had been present in Bangladesh, that they got a great inspiration, and actually that because of the presence of the Prabhupada's movement there, even though we were not so many there, that actually it had rejuvenated the whole Krishna consciousness, because they had been told that when after Muhammad Ali was made the, you might have saw in the paper, Muhammad Ali is the consulate general for Bangladesh. That was like a stunt. They brought him over there and said, everyone in America has become Mohammedan. So the people then told the Hindus that you should also, because the whole America and England, they're all Mohammedan. And the whole world has become Mohammedan, so if you want, what's the year? Is it a dying religion or something? So you should become Mohammedan. You see, of course, we're not concerned with Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, the sectarian viewpoint, but this is the type of things that go on in these countries. So They had actually become very demoralized, that maybe it's true that actually the whole world is becoming Mohammedan, and our belief in Krishna and Hindu culture, Vedic culture is in fact misplaced or something. You know, some of the people, they're so isolated there. They're very much economically depressed and prejudiced. So when we came there and showed our Hare Krishna people film and world of Hare Krishna and so on, how everyone all over the world, are different places, people are taking the Krishna consciousness, it's accepted by scientific people, Vedic culture, reincarnation. It's not a matter of any kind of some blind belief, but it's a very scientific, systematic understanding, and people are accepting it all over the world. When they saw that, these leaders said that this actually was like gave us a new life. And as a result now, practically speaking, there is a tremendous revival of Krishna consciousness. I mean, 15 million people got a complete rejuvenation just by these movies and by the preaching there. And so they said they wanted to arrange a program during the Mayapur festival, just after that, where if they could get men and women devotees, say 100 or 2, to come to Bangladesh, or even 50 or 20, whatever, for some big festival, they said they could get about 500,000 people to attend it, and maybe get the president of the country to inaugurate it. Because the position of the Hindus there has increased a lot in the past few years. So they claim that they see the whole thing as being the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Then I went to our Pundarik temple, which is an ancient temple where the birthplace of the Guru of Gadadhar, of the Panchatattva, is situated, and where we have constructed a temple for Radha Krishna there, Barshabhanavi Murari deities. And there is a complete flood. Everywhere, all around our temple, is all water. Just our temple alone is above the water and some few village houses. So we had to go 3 miles by boat. And the boat had holes in it. So while they were going, they kept filling up with water, and they were just simultaneously taking the water out. Sometime it became a little bit, you know, a little bit precarious, so we were telling them to bail out a little faster. Somehow we made it. And the villagers, hundreds of villagers came, in spite of all the flood, they all came there. We had a nice program on the veranda of our temple. It was completely packed, and there's a little initiation ceremony there, and the deities worship, everything's going all right. It happens like this sometimes, there's a flood. Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that sometimes Mayapur also floods. And he said that the significance is that when the holy dam floods, that means that from that place, the flood of love for Krishna should be expanded everywhere. So we took it like that, that from Bangladesh, from the Pundarik Dam, now that this is a sign that Krishna wants the flood of Krishna consciousness to come from there. So we had some nice, even in spite of the bad situation with the rainwater, but we had some very nice program. So like this, we had our tour in Bangkok. Many people are chanting japa, Chinese and Thai, Siamese people. They have fixed up the temple very nicely. They get about 50 people on Sundays to come for the feast to preach to Buddhists. Is completely different. Every place they have a complete different mentality. That they're Buddhists, they don't have any concept for God. As their ideas, you become nothing, Buddhism. So to preach to them, you have to adopt a whole different technique, at least in the initial stages, to bring them up to at least to understand But they seem to be some college students were coming there, and they actually were convinced that there was a God by the preaching, and that one boy was chanting 16 rounds. It's a difficult, they're very orthodox, but they respect Krishna consciousness, and they all know that the whole of India at one point for some few centuries had become Buddhist, but they all became again followers of Vedic culture. So in the back of their mind, it's always there that why did they all give up Buddhism? So that's good for some people are therefore envious of us, that why have you driven out Buddhism from your country, India? But then some people are more intellectual, they think, well, there must be, why all the people again accepted Vedic culture? They want to understand. And when they understand, then they also accept. So this was the basic, there were a lot more that things had happened, but these were the basic things that had happened in the period when I was overseas in India. Mayapur, the Samadhi temple, is slowly progressing. Bhavananda Maharaj sent off to buy another small elephant, making a second elephant at Mayapur. And Sundar Kali, she has our first elephant. We've been feeding her very nicely, apparently. She grew 1 foot. She's 9 feet now. At the shoulder they measure. And she's become very big. I mean, elephants are big anyway, but she's become really big. And they say she's still growing, she may get up to be 10 feet, which for a female elephant is quite big, an Indian elephant. Very good disposition. When the ministers came, she was greeting them. She salutes. So this is, of course, in ancient, even now in South India, there are some temples have 50 elephants. And these elephants are used in processions. Take the deity. Prabhupada said that when we were in Kumbh Mela, at that time, this Shankaracharya, Mayavadi impersonalist guru, he came into the fair wearing a loincloth, with a big golden helmet and a big golden scepter, riding an elephant, and in front of him there were all naked Naga sadhus dancing. So Prabhupada heard about this. It's a big thing. All the people would go to see this. And Prabhupada said, these are the Mayavadis. Mayavadi means that they think they're God. Prabhupada says, we take the deity on the elephant. We don't do these type of things. So, and they have elephants which are trained to fan the deities and to bow down. In fact, there's some elephants that have whole pastimes with the deities where they fan their whole life, and then when the day that they're going to die, the one elephant is there and wouldn't eat, just stood by the temple, and then when the door opened, he paid his obeisances and died like that. So it's not, I mean, elephants, they have intelligence also, although it might be limited, but some of these elephants, you don't know who they are, what devotee they were in their past life. There are many, not that everyone is that, but that was a very renowned elephant in the temple, I believe it was in the temple of in Kerala, the famous temple, Guru Vayu temple. So, our elephant's a little bit too old to teach to fan. She does obeisances and can do other salutes and carry the deity. So they want to get a baby one that can be taught how to fan the deity in procession with the trunk. With the chamara they fan. So, Mayapur is, we have about 45 bhaktas right now in Mayapur, 45 new devotees, mostly college graduates. Very nice. Whole crew of them, big white squad. In India they all wear white before they... And in Calcutta they have about 5 bhaktins, 5 or 7. And in Bangalore they have a lot of bhaktins also. Everywhere a lot of devotees are coming. Preaching seems to be going on very nicely.
Now we're trying to organize in Bhubaneswar. The temple is nearing completion. We're printing a lot of books. Sankirtan party has been very active. But of course, we have a lot of plans, and so this is just preparatory for the actual bigger things that we actually want to achieve for Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, reporting here to Prabhupada, Nitya Gaurachand, and all of you.